Audio services provided by Planet Chiropractic. www.planetchiropractic.com.
This broadcast is being brought to you by Planet Chiropractic, serving chiropractic worldwide. This is Dr. Michael DeRouche with Planet Chiropractic. Thank you for joining us for today's internet broadcast with Dr. Tina Sigafoos. Welcome, Dr. Tina.
Hello.
Now, you practice in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Where in Pennsylvania?
Thomasville, in between York and Gettysburg, and north of Baltimore, south of Harrisburg.
And you're a graduate of Life University?
Yes.
When did you go to school?
1922 to 1976 and I graduated in 1982.
You were saying earlier, do you think the schools are different now than they were back when you went?
Well, from what I can see, yeah. When I went to school, a small school, we were only out of maybe two buildings. I'm not quite sure how many buildings they have now. We knew all our instructors. We knew all the instructors in the college. If I had to go to school now, I wouldn't know all the instructors. There's so many. How many of them are chiropractors, I don't know. But most of who taught us when we went to college were chiropractors. And some of the greats, like Jerry Klum, he was quite a hard instructor. I'll never forget him. But actually, these days, you know, he was running Life West. And, you know, whenever we see each other, it's always a good time. We remember the old days. Another thing was is many of the instructors and students lived near each other. So you're always running into the instructors on your days out of school and just, you know, having good times sitting outside chit-chatting. But yeah, it's quite different. The education, I think, might have been better back then than it is now. And when I say that, it's more so, you know, more principle, more philosophy, more of a caring relationship, I think, between the instructors and the students. Didn't have to take so many boards, although I had to do two boards to go to any state, but each state then I had to still sit and write and do a practical to pass the state board. So that's pretty much it as far as that history.
So when you came out of school then, did you go right up to Pennsylvania?
No. When I got out of school, I actually went up to Massachusetts and worked a couple of months there. Of course, while I was there, I enjoyed it so much that I got a Massachusetts license, but I don't think I'll ever go back there. Then after that, I left and went to Florida. I practiced for 6 months. I started a practice, I believe it was in July of 1983, and I was only there for maybe 6 months, and then I moved up to Thomasville in December of 1983.
16 years?
Well, since I graduated, I'm going on 8 years in practice as of June of 82. Then it'll be 17 years this year in the practice that I'm at now.
So after being in practice for so many years, tell us what you do to stay motivated.
Well, I go to DE. And I try to go 4 times a year. And if those of you who don't know what DE is, it's Dynamic Essentials, and it was actually started a long time ago by Sid Williams. And my father started on the speaking program at DE back in the 60s, so we've been pretty well attached to DE since then.
What else?
I do a lot of things. I rise early, I meditate, I read green books. I try to read spiritual books as much as I possibly can. I believe in praying. I run a lot. I work out a lot. I try to eat as good as I possibly can. I drink a lot of good water. I juice. I have a lot of good friends, you know, that are in chiropractic. And that, I would have to say, is probably the most important thing for me these days, is just knowing that I have just a phone call away, or in most cases, some people just a computer email away, of people of like minds, you know, people that definitely practice the way I do and think the way I do, walk the talk.
Do you ever reach a point where you become really frustrated about all the misconceptions people have about chiropractic, either within our own profession or outside the profession?
You know I should be more politically inclined to stand against a lot of things that I guess aren't really chiropractic. I'm not very happy to see people call themselves chiropractors and use modalities, want to use medicines do massages, implement a medical doctor to work under them. I don't believe that that's what BJ considered chiropractic. What I know of chiropractic and what I believe in supporting is the fact that I try to stick to the basic principles of chiropractic, and I teach them as much as I possibly can, but I actually teach them more to my patients than I would to my own colleagues. I let that up to people like my father and people like Sid. I personally enjoy being in my practice and really trying to get more and more people to understand what chiropractic is and what it isn't. Now, when I run into other chiropractors who still don't know what chiropractic is, it's very frustrating to say, God, they come out of school, they call themselves a chiropractor, then they go out and they're trying to teach people what they believe chiropractic is, and it's not, and it's pseudo-medicine, and it seems to me that they have missed the boat as to why they even went to become a chiropractor, or maybe they never even knew and they just decided that that was a good profession to get into because it's the, I think, number one up-and-coming profession there is now in the United States, and I would bet that most high schools are recommending it through counseling to, if you don't know what you want to do, try chiropractic. And they've never been to a chiropractor, never been adjusted, probably won't ever be adjusted until they start their first days of clinic. You know, for me, being born and raised in chiropractic, I know what chiropractic is. That gives me, I guess, a lot more than most in understanding why I'm where I am and what chiropractic really is all about.
What is the most helpful type of community involvement that you would recommend to people that, let's say, people want to go out and educate in their communities? I know from my experience in your community is very different from many, where it's a very rural community and people actually travel quite a distance to come to your practice.
The first foremost thing is all new patients in my office have to attend my doctor's orientation. What that means is they need to be orientated to who I am and how I practice. You know, I get patients that have been to other chiropractors that'll say, I've already been to one of those. I say, yeah, but you've not been to one of mine. And the funny thing is when they attend mine and then in my type of care, it's like they'll say, well, I never heard that and I've never had this done to me before. You know, and there's a scary thing sometimes when you think about it. It's like, wouldn't it be a nice thing that as chiropractors, we all did the same thing and we all practiced the same principles and we all taught the same philosophy and so forth instead of having all this mixed bag of stuff out there, because there's no unity. And the thing is, the kind of chiropractor that I am, I'm unified with a certain group of chiropractors that are as principled and understand the philosophy. But for me to communicate it, you know, in the community, it's easy, you know, when you're actually trying to teach chiropractic to a person that really doesn't know much about chiropractic. So to do that, you know, sometimes we do the orientations, and it's a mandatory thing in my office. We used to do spinal screenings where we would take the spinal analysis machine to the malls and just, you know, screen the patients and ask them if they wanted a complimentary exam or x-rays to see how healthy their spine was or unhealthy. A lot of time I've done radio where I've just gone and purchased a certain program and have done that for so many weeks at a time. I've offered myself to speaking at Rotary Clubs, TOPS, you know, any kind of group that's out there that would be willing to listen to you. Lately, what I do out of my office, I like to do some big things where Easter's coming and we do an Easter egg hunt and we invite the whole community to come in and we get sponsors from all around the area. So money-wise, it's not costing me anything but, you know, a few bucks to get folks to come in, bring their kids and go hunting eggs. And then before it all happens, for the first hour, what we do is we screen patients. We offer them complimentary exams and x-rays that day, and we hand out wonderful gifts to the kids who win the prize eggs, and it's a fun day, and it only takes us a couple of hours out of our day, and we can literally attract as many as 50 new patients just by doing a day like that. Another good thing is I do a Christmas party at the end of the year, and the first year I did it, but really the reason I wanted to do it was to just say thank you to all of the patients that supported me throughout the past years. But what it actually has turned out to being is a nice big party where everybody gets to sit down, meet each other, have good food, listen to good music, and we do some screenings there as well. And they bring the family members that I don't see all year long, and we get a lot of the families started up together. And again, we can attract as many as 25 to 50 new patients on a group thing like that. And that's, you know, really the simplicity of it all as far as communicating chiropractic in my community. It's bringing in the new patients and teaching them chiropractic right within the office. It's all referral based, and you know, it's constant teaching. I mean, I don't just do one a week or one a month. If I have to, I'll do two, maybe even three in a week if I can't get the group together on one day. I'll do whatever it takes to teach them chiropractic.
So everybody that comes into the office is a new patient. Do they attend an orientation before their first adjustment?
No, I've never, ever believed in that. I think that the first thing that a new patient wants to come in is to be worked on, in the sense that they want something. So I've always adjusted my patients on the first day. But we educate our patients right from the beginning. You know, they walk in the door, and right away they know that we're not adjusting them for their symptoms. We're adjusting them for something called a subluxation. Then they watch a 5-minute film, and then one of my CAs will still go in and teach them a little bit more about subluxation. They'll do a screening of their spine, and we palpate the spine and pretty much relay it to a chart that lights up that sort of shows them what could be happening because of that subluxation. So before they're even adjusted, they're already thinking, oh my God, you know, all I came in here for was a bad neck or a bad back or a sore this or that. By the time they're laying on my table, they understand that there could be something called a subluxation that could be killing them. And they already know that before they even lay down on the table. So yeah, we give them an adjustment the first day.
When you pull up the drive to your office, what is the outside of the office? What is that sign that's on the outside of the office?
It says, enter to get well.
I noticed the first time I stepped into your office, there's this huge painting. It must be 8 feet high in your reception area. Tell us about that.
You know, the funny thing is my dad used to have a painting that was done by a patient there. And on the bottom, it used to say, why didn't somebody tell me sooner? And the reason he had that painted was because he has a story about one of his patients that brought a daughter in that was dying. And of course, she is still living today because of and the father just broke down and got down on his knees and said, why didn't somebody tell me sooner? In other words, he drug his daughter through all the medicine and you name it. But the paint started getting bad, and it just didn't look right for me. So I decided to take a big imprint of B.J. Palmer and have it done at a printing. I'm not quite sure what you'd call that. I just made a big old poster of B.J. Palmer. And what does it stand on the bottom?
You never know how far-reaching something you may think, say, or do today may affect the lives of countless millions tomorrow. Do you get comments on that?
You know, I don't, but I'm not the focus of attention when patients walk into my office. I'm in the back rooms adjusting. My staff or the people love to come in my waiting room and just sit and be with my staff or, you know, watch a program that we might have on the tube on chiropractic. I know they're sitting there, and I know they see that poster, but no one really talks to me about it. Now, they may say something to my staff, but my staff never really communicates that with me either, so I don't know. You know, I haven't actually had any great comments about that.
Your staff has quite a reputation of being a fine-tuned machine, which allows you to be the chiropractor. How did you get to have a staff that was that well-functioning, handle an office so well?
Well, it wasn't easy. I've been in practice, going on 17 years, and Stephanie is the one that's been with me the longest, and she's been with me, I believe she's going on her 12th year. So somewhere in those first 5 years, I didn't have a very good staff. But once I started getting a little bit more of a loyal staff, such as Stephanie and Michelle, I one year just decided that's it. You know, I travel now more than I ever have, and when you travel, you want to know that your office is running smoothly. You want to know that they can take care of the office and let the cover doctor come in and just adjust. So what I did was for one full year, every Thursday for as much as 2 to 3 hours, we started with a new patient procedure. And we would say, okay, when a new patient comes in, what do we do? And I would take them through it, and then I would say, next week, you're being tested on it. I want you to be the first person. And we did that for many, many days throughout the year until we got every procedure from new patient to second time visit to orientation to report of findings to payments, finances, in other words. And now they know more than I do because I don't have to practice that anymore. I know that they practice it every day. So what I'm doing, and while I'm adjusting, I'm practicing chiropractic all the time, and I don't have to talk money. I don't actually have to even worry about whether they're going to make their next appointment. I don't have to worry about any of that. That's all being taken care of because of the training that I decided to put my staff through. And once they got it, even though they were very uncomfortable in the beginning, I mean, I make them do pre-orientation. That means they have to stand up in front of all the new patients and pretty much tell them what a healthy spine looks like and what an unhealthy. And they were so uncomfortable, just like any one of us would be uncomfortable standing up in front of an audience. But you know, once they do it 100 times, it's just amazing how they do it better than I would ever do it. So, you know, it's just a matter of knowing who in your office the best work and putting them in that position and training them to the T. You know, once you got it and you like it, and, you know, I do videos on them to see how well they do. And when you say, that's it, that's what they practice every day, every week.
So would you say that that's a worthwhile investment for a doctor to spend
absolutely
a good amount of time with their staff?
Well, you know, it depends on, I personally have found that even though my hours in the office, I work Monday, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Friday mornings. I don't normally work on Tuesdays, and I have my Thursday mornings off, and I've started, I don't know, a couple years ago to have my Friday afternoons off. But it's you know what, the investment is a lot of time, you know, and some chiropractors just feel that if it's their day off, they shouldn't be taking that time. But you know what, you should be working chiropractic every single day of your life, even when you're not in the office. So I just finally decided that one day out of the week, during the weekday, I didn't take my weekends. It didn't really take a lot of my days off. It just meant that I went in earlier on the days that I worked. And I took that time, and I broke it down to having it done bit by bit. It took me a year to really feel like they knew everything I wanted them to know and do. So, yeah, 1 year out of your whole life to give you 17, 18 good years of less stress, of just walking in and seeing the mass numbers, you know. In those days and hours, I can average 450 visits a week, and I'm comfortable with that. But as time goes on, I think the most important thing is just focus on what comes in your office isn't really up to me. It's more up to a higher power. You call it God, whatever, but I leave it up to innate. I walk in the doors every morning, and I do ask for new patients all the time. If I don't get any new patients, it's not going to kill me because the patient load that I have now will sustain me for years to come, mainly because I've educated the patients and because my staff is so well fine-tuned that we don't lose a lot of patients once they do get started because they understand that it's not about just fixing a symptom anymore. It's a lifetime of maintaining your spine and your nervous system. So that's it.
Do you feel it's important to include your staff in activities such as attending DE?
Yeah, I take my staff at least twice a year to DE now. Used to only take them once a year, but you know what happens? You have a staff. You go to DE, and you leave them behind, and you close your office for those 4 days, and you come back, and you're all fired up, and you want to do this, and you want to change that. They're not understanding, and they're feeling frustrated. They need to be right by your side in the same growth phases that you're going through. So I believe that I'm going to be taking them to just about every function in the years to come. Taking them twice a year to DE is good, but you know, I do some local functions as well. I don't just go to DE. Sometimes I'll do a Saturday Night Live in New Jersey or you know, some other little philosophy weekends in the area. And I take them with me when I go there.
Who are some of your chiropractic mentors?
My first real mentor in life is God. You know, he may not be, I think he was a chiropractor. He was a healer. So I'd have to say that my number one mentor is definitely God. Now, I have my father definitely as one of my mentors. I've listened to him ever since I was 9 years old speaking. And you know, No matter how many times I go to hear him speak, he's just one of the best speakers I've ever heard when it comes to speaking the principles and the philosophies of chiropractic. Sid Williams, most definitely. B.J. Palmer is and always will be one of my mentors. I actually had the chance as a young child to go to a little bit of heaven before they tore it down, and to one of the lyceums. I got to go through the house, and it was quite different back then, and I can't really say how old I was, but I do remember it. And I remember walking through the halls with all the signs and so forth. Boy, you know, when you go through something like that, for some reason I recall that it just inspired me more and more to want to become a chiropractor. And again, I want you to know I started at about 9 years knowing that I wanted to be a chiropractor. For no other reason than the fact that my father would take us just about to many, many chiropractic functions when we were children. You know, a lot of times he's asked, doesn't that make you proud that all of your children have decided to be chiropractors? You know, I don't know that it was so much that it was because my father was a chiropractor. It was because he was a chiropractor and because he took us to many chiropractic functions. And we were constantly around chiropractic. That's all we knew. That's all we were comfortable with. So I think it was easy for us to decide to become a chiropractor, to live that lifestyle.
When I asked you about what you do to stay motivated, you mentioned that you read green books as mm-hmm. well as you pray. Mm-hmm. How often would you recommend people read green books as well as how often would you recommend people pray?
Well, you know, growing up with my father, he made us do so many things. I mean, when he decided to go on a macrobiotic diet, we'd have to go on a macrobiotic. If he decided to do yoga, we'd have to do yoga. If he decided to have a Bible study, we had to do a Bible study. So, you know, we had bits and pieces of doing things. Even when we were children, we didn't want to do it. It's when you become an adult, it's kind of tough. You got to wait until the right moment and the right timing. And once you decide to do something, you just do it, and it becomes a part of you. So it took a while for me to get a routine. I think that, honestly, my routines that I follow now, it's been in anywhere from 5 to 7 years. I've been pretty well sticking to this same routine of getting up at 6:30 in the morning and going into the room, and I read. I usually like to just read one of BJ's stories. The Bigness of the Fellow Within is one of my favorite ones because it's an easy one to just pick a story, read, and then go ahead and meditate on that. And then I also then finish by praying for new patients for that day. I don't do it every morning because I don't get up every morning at 6:30 to go into the office. I do it mainly on the mornings I know I have to work, and that's usually 4 days out, 7 days. Now, what do I do on the other days? Well, you know, I work out hard, you know, and I do other things, but there's still things that help me to meditate properly or to deal with stress properly and so forth. So I would say that it's just a matter of your own personal choice. I remember I tried to read green books 50 years ago and I just hated it. But now I pick them up and it's a whole different story. You know, I get a lot more out of them. So it takes time, but you just got to do it. And whatever you don't like, don't do it right now. That's what my suggestion is. Just stick to the things that you enjoy doing.
You said you did a lot of things as a kid that you didn't necessarily want to do. I had heard the story that I guess you were doing patient education classes on Sunday mornings in your home.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that like?
Oh, gosh. You know, you knew there was no getting out of doing any kind of functions that my father decided to do. And, you know, when he threw an open house, what we would have to do is we'd have to move all the furniture out of the sunken living room. We'd have to move all the furniture out of the kitchen area. We'd have to set up all these chairs. We'd have to run and go get donuts. We'd have to make sure we have plenty of coffee. And my father would speak between a wall into two rooms, and he'd fill the house. I mean, the house would fill up with 100 to 150 people. And then, we weren't done then. Once he was done speaking, he was done. But we then would have to process all the new patients. So I would be in the dark room developing all the x-rays while my mother would be taking all the x-rays. And then maybe my other siblings would be folding the chairs up and cleaning up the donut crumbs and, you know, taking care of the dishes and so forth. So, you know, it was always a lot of work, but, you know, Dad definitely saw the masses because of it. It's funny, I can't really say that I totally disliked it. It just was a part of our life, and we had to do it. So we didn't really get up and say, I don't want to do this. You know, it was just, okay, what do we got to do now?
Where do you see this profession going in the future?
You know, where would I like to see it going? I would like to see more chiropractors teaching in the chiropractic colleges, number one. Or at least having more educated people knowing what chiropractic is, first and foremost. Why do I say that? Because I know we need to have, you know, anatomy, biology, pathology, but you know what? I think that many of the instructors that are teaching are definitely teaching what they need to teach, but there's something missing in most of the colleges, and I believe it's the philosophy. Now, when I went to school, Sid Williams made us attend philosophy meetings once a week, and it was mandatory. I don't know whether that's the case anymore at Life, and I don't know if that's the case anywhere in any of the colleges. I do believe they need to throw out what's not chiropractic in the schools, like physical therapy, you know, orthopedics, you know, symptoms. You know, we gotta teach more on what a subluxation is, and we need to really understand what it means to have a bone out of alignment pressing on a nerve or on the brainstem enough to shut the life force down in the body. I mean, I think that somebody needs to teach the safety pin cycle to every student that goes into college and keep teaching it till they get it. And once they get it, I think they hold on to the safety pin cycle. You know, they can be taught just about anything and everything, but you can let that go as long as you hang on to what chiropractic really is all about. So I think we need to get back to philosophy. I think we really need to get back to the principles of chiropractic and stop becoming chiropractors for the money, number one. Stop becoming chiropractors because you want to act a medical doctor. If you want to practice medicine or be like a medical doctor, I suggest you get out of, don't use chiropractic as a way of doing that. Go to medical school. And if you can't get into medical school, don't go to chiropractic school. It's as simple as that. I mean, you know, we need to get chiropractic back into the where it all started. It's not about putting machines on and putting something from the outside in. You know, it's just about removing that one thing called a subluxation.
Tina, with that, I'd like to thank you for being with us today. Really appreciate this opportunity. There's so many people that need to hear your message. Thank you for taking the time to be with us.
Thank you.
And we'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to this Planet Chiropractic broadcast. Planet Chiropractic, serving chiropractic worldwide.